Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So if you are honoring your parents, if you are obedient to your parents, if you're in that age category, then God has things go well with you, which I want and you want. You want that through your life and let you live a long life. It's connected to how long you live on earth.
The book of Ephesians tells us honoring your parents leads to living a long life. Last time on Practical Christian Living, we began chapter 6 in the book of Ephesians, where Paul gives instruction to both children and parents. With more from last time, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
There may be something here as we look at honoring them that really helps us to understand why God wants us to obey them for you who are kids. Because your mom and dad know more than you think. You don't think they know what's going on, but they do. I remember at 15 and 16 years old, when my mom got a job working nights and I started riding my bike all around. When I got a car, driving all around Albuquerque, and I was persuaded. My mom didn't know what was going on out there. I was like, my mom doesn't have a clue. What's going on out here? She doesn't have a clue. What I found out when I was like 18 or 19 years old is she knew it all. She understood it all. She was just quiet about it. She understood it. Our parents understand it more than what we think when we think about the world that we're living in. I'm not saying that they know what the number one song is, or maybe not even what your favorite song is, but I'm saying as far as the world goes, they do understand it, and they are watching out for you, and that's why they're giving you the restrictions that they're giving you, because of the love that they have for you. But when you become an adult, you have to make those decisions on your own. That's the training of a child. We're training them so they get to a point where they can make their own decisions. That's why we don't want to neglect the training of a child, because then they don't know how to make those decisions. We want to help them to be able to face the world and make decisions. But you still have to honor your parents. And here's what it says. Honor your father and mother. Here's where mothers come into it a little bit. You get honor, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So when you are obedient, when you honor your mother and father, and this is for adults as well, then God says things will go well with you on the earth. Now, I don't know about you, and maybe I do know about you, but I know about me. I want things to go well with me. And if God's giving me a promise in the Word that if I honor my mother, then things are going to go well with me, then I want to be honoring to my mother. And for those of you who are kids here, do you want things to go well with your life? Do you have enough faith to believe what God is saying here, that if you will obey and honor them, that God will let things go well with you? That's pretty amazing. And then it says that you'll live a long life, that you may live long on the earth. Now, again, I want to live long on the earth. I do want to go to heaven. What's the song say, the country song? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go right now. I do want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go right now. I want to finish what God has for me to finish. Paul, in prison, wrote to the Philippians struggling with, do I remain here, which is better for you, but worse for me, or do I go to be with the Lord, which is better for me, because to be absent in the body is to be present with Christ. Today, when someone dies, a Christian, believer, child of God, they are in the presence of God when they die. So Paul was struggling with that. Now let's think about this for a moment. The Bible says it's appointed once for man to die and then comes judgment. So God has an appointment for you to die. I have an appointment with death. That's what the Bible's telling me. It's kind of a grim thing to think about. I hope it's off in the future a ways, but I have an appointment with death. But God could have given me that appointment based on his foreknowledge, that he knew whether or not I would be honoring to my mother and my father, if I'd be obedient. This is because God is omniscient. God knows everything, past, present, and future. God says, I am God, there is none like me, telling the end from the beginning, telling you things that happen before they happen. It's one of the reasons we trust the Bible, because it prophetically, a long time ago, talks about things that are happening right now during our day. The Bible says in the Old Testament that Damascus is going to become a heap of ruins and cease to be a city. And today it is turning into a heap of ruins and cease being a city. Damascus is one of the longest existing cities that has been inhabited that there is on the earth. And the Bible foretold that. And so we trust what it's telling us. So God knows what's going to happen. And so God knows your life. He can see it from beginning to end. And this kind of confuses us. Well, how does God see my life from beginning to end? Because God lives outside of time. Every other God that's created by man lives inside of time. Even those that are in the New Age who believe that trees are God and water is God, that's creation. That's in the universe. So everything is in the universe. All the pantheon of gods, the Roman pantheon, the Greek pantheon, the Hindu deities, all of the deities that are out there are inside the universe. But the Bible declares that God created the universe and created time. He created the time, space, matter continuum. So God's outside of it. And so in a perspective, he can see Robert Furrow, the beginning of his life and the end of his life. He can see that all in a span. So he knows when I'm going to die, and he can predestine and give me more time if he determined to do that. The best analogy for being able to see how God sees time is a parade. At least I think it's one of the best. So you're standing at a corner watching the Macy's Day Parade. You make a trip, you're watching it yourself. And you can look down and see the floats that are coming. And you can look ahead and you can see the floats that have already gone by. Okay? This represents time. You're living in it. The floats are going by. What a cool float. That's a lame float. Now look at the marching band. Here comes some horses. They're pooping in front of me. This is great. Macy's Day Parade. So you're watching all the stuff going on. Now there's a Zeppelin up above, right? They do news coverage from it. And the guy in the Zeppelin's looking down. And he sees the things that have passed you and the things that are in front of you. He sees everything from the beginning to the end. He could even tell you that something that you've already seen is broken down or something you haven't seen yet is broken down because of his perspective. So our perspective changes. God's in eternity, and so he sees things in a perspective, and he can make decisions about your life beforehand because of his foreknowledge, because he knows everything. Whom God foreknew, the Bible says, he predestined. That's only one passage on predestination and foreknowledge that I could give you. There are more. But whom God foreknew, he predestined. And so God changes things about your life before the foundations of the world, which he's been waiting for you for a long time, based on what you're doing now. So if you are honoring your parents, if you are obedient to your parents, if you're in that age category, then God has things go well with you, which I want and you want. You want that through your life and let you live a long life. It's connected to how long you live on earth. I don't know how many things in the Bible tell us that. Tell us that it's connected to how long we will live. You say, well, what if I was really rebellious to my parents? What if I made their lives really miserable? Well, you can honor them now. There's opportunity to be able to honor them now. And besides that, we have a God who is very merciful. And if you call out upon his name, he will give you mercy and he will give you grace. The mercy is when he doesn't give you what you deserve. That's mercy. And grace is when he gives you what you don't deserve. And there's nothing like grace anywhere else in any other religion. In any other religion, you get what you deserve. You know, think about karma. You know, you're going to be reincarnated, and you're going to be reincarnated on what you deserve. Some people deserve to come back as a cockroach. So, you know, some people deserve to come back as... That's why, by the way, in that philosophy, they hate people who are poor because they believe that they did something in their previous life or lame because they think they did something previously to come back as this. So that's why they have no compassion in the midst of that. But our God is gracious and he is good. All right. So now we go to fathers. Let's get to dads. Now we're done with the kids. All right. You guys are over. Now let's pick on your dad. So the Bible says here, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So there's a couple of ways that we can provoke our kids to wrath. The first one that I think about is teasing. And maybe that's because I'm a harasser. And so I used to love to harass my kids. I would harass them and I would go too far. And they would get upset. Maybe that happens. Like giving my kids horse bites was one of the best fun things for me. You know what a horse bite is? Anybody? It's when you grab a hold of their knee and squeeze and cry out, horse bite, horse bite. And you squeeze their knee while they're writhing in pain next to you while you're squeezing their knee. And I had my daughter more than once say, Dad, don't ever do that to me again. To where I was pushing it a little bit too far. Now, she says to me these days, remember when you used to do horse fights, how frustrating that was? So we have fun with our kids, and that's a good thing. We tease them, that's a good thing. We've got to know when it can go too far, right? And again, this is something that dads do. But the second thing, and maybe more important thing, is in the area of discipline. That we do not provoke them to wrath in discipline. We are to discipline our kids. The Bible says, let me get to this verse here. I've learned to put a bunch of verses in what I want to share and then share as I have time to do that. So the Bible says to, let's see. Well, the Bible says this. It says that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. So discipline is necessary. But it doesn't necessarily mean a rod that you beat the kids with. That rod can be a metaphor for discipline. Now, we live in different times than when many of us were kids. My dad told me that if the principal, and the principal did spank me, by the way. My dad told me, when the principal spanks you, I'm going to give you another beating when you get home. Just know that. That's what my dad told me. There was no defending me to the principal. He was just like, you get in trouble, you're going to get it when you get home. My dad was a strict disciplinarian. I believe his dad was a strict disciplinarian from the stories that he told me. My dad made me more than once go and pick out, we had a weeping willow tree by our house when I grew up, make me go pick out the switch that I was going to get beat by, and it would leave welts. Me and my sister, my dad was abusive. Here's the thing that I didn't know. When I was in the midst of it, I didn't know it was abusive. Me and my sister would compare our bruises from the bottom of our thighs to the middle of our back. That our dad would grab us by our arm and his belt, and he would beat us until we had bruises, which it created a rage in me. There was a rage in me when I was in fifth grade. Somebody did something to me. They bounced a ball in my face or something, and we were in the classroom, and I went into a rage and threw all the desks everywhere. I remember the teacher holding people outside, watching inside while this rage is going on. And, you know, we don't know what we're doing to the psyche. What was happening to my psyche, to my mind, when I was being treated that way by my father? When my dad would go into ridiculous rages. Again, I didn't know it then. I realized it, interestingly enough, when I was 18. My dad had been dead for 4 years. When my mom and my grandfather came through the door, and I knew my dad had died. I knew he was in the hospital. I knew he was dying. He went from 220, he was 6'1", 220. I knew he was dying because he was in a wheelchair. He's 195 pounds. He died of Lou Gehrig's disease. He was 195 pounds before he died. And when my mom came through the door with my grandpa, I remember saying what I said in my mind was good. Good. He died. Which is what you don't want your children to say of you when you die. But my dad had been so abusive that that was the case. This was when he was sick. This is when he was in the wheelchair. He came back from the hospital and had, actually this one was earlier. So there was a soap incident where he went off on us, on me and my older sister. My younger sister was too young to get in on all of this, but me and my older sister, there's another, what we call the scissors incident, and we don't talk about this much. Me and my older sister, she says, please don't talk about this. So we couldn't find the scissors, and something was said, and my dad figured one of us was lying. And so my dad began to spank us, or what I would now say, to beat us, and we both just stuck to our guns. And then my dad set me down and said, you either tell me the truth, I'm shaving you bald. And I said, I'm telling the truth, and he shaved me bald. He cut my hair off to about, you know, a quarter, a little less than a quarter of an inch. Then he sat my sister down, and he said, you tell me the truth, I'm going to cut your hair. And then he faked cut her hair, which I understand. Now I look back at it, you're going to shave a girl bald. Well, that'd be worse than what he was. It was pretty bad. But he faked cut her hair. And I finally said, okay, Dad, I lied. And he said, are you just saying that because you want this to stop? No, I thought, well, that's, yeah. I said, yeah. And he beat us more from it. So finally I lied. Instead, I lied. Like I said, I tell this to my sister now. And she says, don't bring that up ever again. And he took her out for ice cream while I stayed at home. Now, I'm 18 years old. My dad's been dead for 4 years. And all of a sudden, I remember all of those things that my dad did. And I think, My dad was a jerk. You don't treat children that way. When I was a kid, living in the midst of it, I didn't understand it was wrong. I thought it was life. But once I was out of it and getting into my adult years, I realized you don't treat kids that way. You just don't do that. Now, I'm an extreme case, I understand. Some of you guys have had it worse than me. Some of you guys haven't had it as bad as what I've had it. But I think it's a good example for us to consider how we're treating our kids today, the way we correct them, the way we discipline them, to make sure that we're doing it in a way that these kind of things don't happen and that your kid doesn't become a preacher one day and tell thousands of people on a Sunday morning what you did. It's exactly what's happening with my dad. He becomes an analogy in all of this. And so when it says to use the rod or spoil the child, discipline is necessary, but not necessarily spankings. I'm not going to direct you on what you should do, but I'm just saying that, you know, there's a line that definitely becomes abuse and you got to be careful about it. It's important for us as dads to realize too that yelling, that they may do what you say, you know, mom's saying, clean up your room, clean up your room, clean up your room. And you finally get frustrated and you get up and you stick your head through the door and red-faced you yell, pick up your toys or else. And the kids pick up the toys and you think, I'm effective. Well, you're effective for them to getting to pick up their toys. You might not be that effective in training up your child in the way they should go. You're getting them to do things, but you're not really training them. And the Bible says, train a child in the ways of the Lord, and when they're old, they won't depart. This doesn't mean that they're never going to not leave. I did when I was brought up in the Methodist church. I left the Lord at 18. The pastor of the church I attended had an affair, and I learned firsthand what a scandal does to a church. And I was also 18, looking around the world, thinking, what does the world have to offer me? I'd been a Christian since 14, so wondering, what does the world have to offer me? Plus, I had received some money from my dad. I think it was an insurance settlement, or I don't know if it was the government giving us money for something. My dad worked for Kirtland Air Force Base in Sandia, and we got money when he died, I think from Kirtland. And it might have been just an insurance policy with him, I'm not sure. And I had gotten that money, so now I had money. I'm 18 years old. My pastor has an affair, and I'm like, I'm out of here. And I walked away for a year. When I say I walked away from the Lord for a year, I walked away. But God came after me. Bring up a child in the way of the Lord, and when they're old, they won't depart. And I believe that. I don't think it's just a proverb that is a percentages. I like the percentages if God says, bring a child up in the way of the Lord, and when they're old, they won't depart. If that's just a proverb, this is what James Dobson says. That's a proverb that tells you in most of the cases, this is the way it is, but there might be an exception. I'll take the odds, but there are definitely promises in Proverbs. And this could be a promise. I take it as a promise. Raise a child in the way of the Lord. When they're old, they won't depart. Doesn't mean they'll never depart, but when they're old, they won't depart. So kind of just wrapping things up, teach diligently, discipline in love. The Bible says in Psalms 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, and a harsh word stirs up anger. So be careful on how you speak to your children, how you interact with them. Model faith in front of your kids. And finally, pray for them. God answers prayer. Make sure that you end up praying for them. And there is dads and kids, all right? Moms, we'll get other places. Psalms 31. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can take time to consider these four verses today and really how much they have really spoken to us about. And we pray that you would help us. First of all, I pray for the kids that are here. Lord, what a great word for you to them. That you are going to have things go well with them in their lives if they're obedient to their parents. Let them hear that and walk in faith and do that. And that you will give them a length of days for those who will honor their mother and father. And I pray, Lord, that we would honor our parents even as adults and as children, that we would honor our parents as well for these promises that you've given us in your word. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, your eyes closed for just a few minutes. If you want to give your life to Christ, Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. Again, Jesus said, you must be born again or you will never see the kingdom of God. John 1:12 says, as many as receive him, That means you have the door to your life to say, I want Christ. As many as receive him, he gives them the power to be the children of God who believe in his name. So that if today you say, Lord, I want you in my life and I'm ready to live for you, he will adopt you as a child. And we will have a heavenly father who reflects for us that protection and provision that God gives to us. If you say, I'm ready to live for you. Now, if you don't want to follow him, you don't have to. If you say, I like my life the way it is, then you don't have to. But listen to the words of Jesus. He said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. So what I'm asking is, are you ready to give your life to Christ? Are you ready to invite him in? Jesus gave you a lot of different invitations. And now he's asking you to invite him into your life. If you want to do that today, and this is necessary for salvation, you will be born again. Your spirit will be brought to life. Your sins will be forgiven. And God will have a plan for you. You will become a disciple of Jesus, the same as Peter, James, and John. When Jesus said, leave your nets and follow me, you will now be following Jesus as one of his disciples. If you're here today, you want to give your life to Christ, heads bowed, eyes closed, just raise your hand. First of all, way over here in the to my left, two hands that went up almost right away. These here in the front went up right away as well. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. I see right in front of the window there. God bless you guys. Both of you right here in the middle. That's awesome. God bless you. Guys, both of you guys there in that middle section. That's great. Anyone else? Back here, I can see the silhouette there in the window. God bless you. God's got a plan. Another hand up here in the front. God bless you. All the way to the side, your hands that are up over there. Just raise your hand. If you're thinking, should I do it? Should I not? Should I do it? Do it. Today is the day of salvation. Give your life to Christ. Just raise your hand. God bless you. And God bless you there. Yep, right in this middle section. I mean, or this kind of front of the sound booth. Just raise your hand. I'm just scanning one more time. God bless you, sir. That's great. God bless you, ma'am. That's great. Anyone else? All right. You can put your hands down. And I saw hands go down that I didn't say God bless you to. So if I missed your hand, God saw it. All right. I'd like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I've sinned against you, and I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I accept the work you did for me on the cross, and I turn to you that I might live for you. As a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Christ, in the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Very exciting.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio, or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.